Welcome to The Extra, the show that connects you with people, issues, and topics that are important to you. And our topic today here on The Extra is something that I think we acknowledge every 10 minutes on KRDO's Morning News, just how important it is when we bring you your traffic and weather together. We're talking about what's going on our area roads. And the Colorado Department of Transportation, they make it their mission to make sure that our roads are as safe and as up to date as they possibly can, that they are maintained, and that we have an ease of use. And part of that is some of the projects that we're going to be talking about today. And so I'm joined today by the communications manager for Region 2 for CDOT, Michelle Pulin. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning, Shannon. Thanks for the opportunity to chat with you today.
Oh, I love hearing about what's going on with our roads. I know some people don't spend a lot of time on the roads. I feel like I'm always in the car. I mean, the car is where I live, unfortunately. So I love hearing about the projects that are working to make our lives a little bit easier and safer when we are on the road. So let's start off. Let's just, I guess, broach this. So far, we've had a pretty easy winter season. Are the crews, I guess, gearing up for, you know, the possibility? I mean, we've had maybe 3 snowstorms since the start of September. Of course, it started right off the bat with, you know, that early September snowstorm. But how are the crews feeling about getting the roads cleared this winter?
Right. So we had our very first snowstorm the day after Labor Day, which is, you know, definitely not standard around Colorado. We should be wearing shorts and flip-flops the day after Labor Day. But our crews were prepared and ready to tackle that one. And then we got hit, especially in the Pueblo area and south, with a storm that dumped over 12 inches of snow, which, again, is not typical for this area and this early in the season. I mean, it was in October.
Usually Pueblo gets spared when we get those storms.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. We call Pueblo kind of a banana belt. We don't typically see heavy accumulation. So this year has been a little bit not typical, not what we usually deal with. But the good news is CDOT crews are prepared to deal with that. That's their job, is to deal with what we don't expect. Mm-hmm. So they are prepared for the season. We have plenty of materials. Sand and de-icer and what we call brine, all of those things that are in their toolkit to battle winter, to battle Mother Nature, which you never know what she's going to throw at us. So we do ask, you know, we will do our part, but we have a huge ask for the traveling public. You know, we need you to do your part. In these first few storms, what we've seen, and, you know, it may be because we're just not ready for this type of snowstorms, but what we've seen is people not giving our snow plows the respect they deserve. They're definitely not bowing to the plow. We've seen some behavior that is a little bit concerning, people trying to pass plows on the right, which is actually, you know, Governor Polis signed a law into effect last year that it's illegal to pass a plow on the right. So don't ever do that. The other thing we've seen is, you know, motorists just not.
So that would be someone actually going into the median usually, because usually the plows are to the right, is what you're saying.
Right.
Okay.
Or, you know, if they're plowing the left lane.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Still the same thing.
Typically, still the same thing. So, you know, you have to give those plows all the room you possibly can. If they're in that echelon formation, which means more than one of them, what they're trying to do is clear as much of the road as possible to make it safe for you. So if cars aren't respecting them and impeding on the work that they're doing, that's going to cause further delays. It's going to make the road more dangerous. So, you know, the best advice that we like to give is just stay away from the plows, you know, give them as much space as you possibly can. The safest place to be is behind a plow. I mean, consider it your personal escort to wherever you're going, because the road is freshly plowed.
Right. It's going to be as clear as it's ever going to be.
It's going to slow you down.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
Let them clear it for you. Because the more cars that are out there, the harder it is for them to do their job, which makes it that much longer for those roads to be cleared.
Okay. And, you know, we have this every winter, so it shouldn't come as any surprise to anyone. So make sure you're prepping your car to so that you don't cause problems out there on the roads, so that you, you know, have the your tires are not bald, that they are ready for winter driving, that you have enough windshield wiper fluid in your car. All of that needs to be something that we can, that's how we can prepare in addition to your cruise, right, Michelle?
Absolutely. Take some time during this fall season to really prepare yourself for the winter months. Consider these early storms a warning. If you don't have adequate traction on your tires, change that. You know, get snow tires put on there or plan to keep your car in the garage. It's just not safe to be out there in winter driving conditions if you don't have adequate tread on your tire. Especially under this pandemic and with all of us finding ways to work remotely and work from home, consider those snow days another opportunity to take advantage of that. If you don't have to be out on the roadways when it's snowy conditions, definitely don't. Stay home, don't put yourself in that situation. But if you do have to go out, make sure your car is prepared, like we said. Make sure you have a scraper. Make sure you have adequate windshield wiper fluid, like you mentioned. Have an emergency kit in your car. You know, put blankets, snacks, water. If you travel with kids, older adults, pets, make sure they're taken care of too. If you're going to go on a trip, you know, if you're traveling for the holidays, say, you know, to the Western Slope, know before you go. Plan ahead. So check CDOT's website. Don't only look at the conditions of where you currently are, but what are conditions like where you're going? As those of us from Colorado know, conditions vary from county to county,
right,
even from city to city. So pay attention to what conditions look like where you're going and what that travel is going to look like. And CDOT's website gives great information on not only closures, but conditions of the road. You can look at our cameras that are all over the state to see, you know, see those images of what conditions look like. And you can find out exactly where all of our snowplows are.
And we should mention that website is co.gov. So it's co.dot.gov, right?
Actually, it's not.
Oh.
No.
Okay.
It's CoTrip, C-O-T-R-I-P. .org.
Okay.
And then CDOT's main, yeah, and that's our main travel website.
Got it.
Where you can go directly for all of our condition and closure information. Our other website is codot.gov.
Okay.
And there you can find information about projects, safety information, and there is a link to our travel conditions page as well.
All right, listeners, did you get that straight? So if you need travel information, the place to go is cotrip.org. But if you want to learn about projects, you can go to that other website. Meanwhile, we are going to talk about some of those projects that have a lot of people interested. And we're talking about, like, for instance, the ramp metering that's been going on. A lot of folks have experienced, you know, getting stopped by a ramp meter light for the first time in Colorado Springs over the last couple of weeks. Also, the I-25 gap project affecting, you know, tens of thousands of drivers daily, although different because of COVID, obviously. And then MAMSIP. I love the acronym. So Michelle's going to fill us in on what MAMSIP is all about. That's coming up as the extra continues. We're talking with Michelle Pulin of CDOT. So please stick around and listen to KRDO News Radio. Welcome to The Extra, show connecting you with the issues, people, and topics that are important to you. And today we are pleased to be joined on the phone, of course, because of COVID, by Michelle Pulin, who's with Colorado Department of Transportation. She's the Manager of Communications for Region 2. And Michelle, MAMSIP, do fill us in. It sounds like something very exotic, like a drink that one might order at a resort. I'd like a MAMSIP, please. Michelle? Do we have Michelle? Michelle, are you there? Maybe she put us on mute.
Dang, that mute button. I hate that mute button.
I know.
I cannot wait until I'm there in person so I don't have to deal with the mute button.
Sometimes our cheeks hit it. You know, you're talking and you had a great answer, I'm sure. So let's prompt up that great answer again. So tell us about MAMSIP.
Well, I definitely like the idea of MAMSIP being the name of a drink. But... it is actually an acronym because we definitely like acronyms at CDOT. So it's a Military Access Mobility and Safety Improvement Project, which is a mouthful. Mm-hmm. So we have just shortened that down to MAMSIP. And what MAMSIP is it is a project that has four different project locations or components, as we call them. And so it is Colorado 94, South Academy, I-25 Safety Improvements, and then Charter Oak Ranch Road. And this is a project that we are very closely partnering with not only our military installations, but also El Paso County and the city of Colorado Springs. So that's why we are working on projects that are on roadways that aren't necessarily the state of Colorado's typical area. But we're excited because this project is finally underway. It's been in the works for a long time. It is partially funded by a grant from the federal government. So the first phase of this project that's underway is Colorado 94. And we're widening an area of Colorado 94, adding a westbound passing lane, and doing some utility work. So currently on Colorado 94, users who take that roadway will notice some earthwork happening. There are some single lane closures. So we're excited that the project is underway. Another portion of the MAMSIP project that we're doing now that is impacting lots of folks who use I-25 during the day. We're doing some emergency paving work, and it's actually CDOT's maintenance crew that is working on this. So once we start the actual MAMSIP work on I-25 between South Academy and Santa Fe Boulevard near Fountain, we are going to completely repave that section, and it will be a concrete paving job. However, anybody who has recently driven that stretch of road knows that the pavement is deteriorating very quickly. So the concrete portion of the project won't start until next, probably summer. But the pavement that's there now can't wait that long, especially through a winter season. So every weekday between 9 and 2, our maintenance crews will be doing daytime single lane closures as we pave that full section of roadway. And so we're putting a complete asphalt top. Rather than just filling potholes, we're just putting an asphalt top on that entire roadway.
Okay. That makes sense.
So it is going to cause, it is going to cause some inconvenience. We are trying to avoid peak travel times. So, you know, we're not going to impact the morning commute or the afternoon commute. So they are trying to just be on the roadway from 9 to 2 on weekdays.
Okay, so folks, watch out if you're driving in that area. I mean, that will avoid some of the military, I think, workers because they tend to arrive earlier than that. So, but 9
correct.
To 2, be watching out for that. All right. Anything else about MAMSIP that we need to know? It sounds like this is a very intense project, but it'll bring a lot of improvements by the time it's all done.
Absolutely. We anticipate the project to be complete in 2022. It is a $159 million project, and like I said, it is. There are many folks who are partnering this, including the Pikes Peak Rural Transportation Authority, CDOT, El Paso County. So it's a very involved project and one that is going to have significant benefits once it's complete.
Well, Michelle, that is exciting news, and we all like to see those improvements when they come. One aspect of a project that I guess people may not see the improvement, what it's doing, they just look at it maybe as an impediment, are the ramp meters that we have seen going in along I-25 on the on-ramps. Tell us how that project is going and what the overall goal is so that people maybe don't get quite as I don't know, not frustrated, but you can tell that people are not accustomed to some of these meter lights.
You're right. So we, CDOT installed 12 ramp meters within Colorado Springs on I-25 on off-ramps that were in heavily congested areas. Areas where we were seeing very high congestion, especially during peak travel times. So we have completed the installation of all 12 ramp meters. The ramp meters are currently functioning. Many of them are in their 30-day burnout period. So what does that burnout mean? That means we keep them on most hours just to make sure they're functioning properly. Once they complete that 30-day, say as South Academy has, those ramp meters will be triggered when there is high levels of congestion. And so they won't be on all of the time. They'll only be on when they're needed. So what's the goal for ramp meters? The purpose of ramp meters is to control folks entering on to the interstate. It was explained to me by an engineer very simply, but it made a lot of sense. If you take your garden hose that's on and you stuff it with a bunch of pebbles, you're going to clog up that garden hose and no water is going to flow. But if you throw in one pebble at a time, it's going to flow right through your garden hose. So it's the same kind of mm-hmm. principle, but that, of course, that's a very simplified version. This allows us to take advantage of those breaks in traffic and lets one car merge into that break rather than several cars trying to squeeze into those breaks in traffic. So this will make that section of I-25 safer, and it will ease mobility as folks are driving, and it should save on travel time.
Wow. Okay. So, and it's too early to really judge any change right now. Will there be any follow-up, or has, I guess, the research already been so proven that will that will be something that is not really examined like that?
So we'll definitely take a look at how it's improving traffic flow through that area once all of the ramp meters have completed and they are on as they should be, so to speak. We'll definitely take a look at how it's improving things. In other areas, such as Denver and Douglas County, we're definitely seeing an improvement. Ramp metering has been around for several years. You know, we're really fortunate in El Paso County that the technology that we're using for our ramp meters is the most advanced technology that we've seen in Colorado. We're the first to use this type of technology. So folks will definitely be taking a look at us in Colorado Springs to see how this is improving and how this technology makes traffic flow better.
Got it. Yeah, because you do want to be able to know that what you're doing, that, you know, even though it's a small pause, it's a pause, and people don't like to, they like to be on their way, and they don't like to be delayed or impeded by anything. So, but you do want to know as a driver that if I'm doing this, that there's going to be some positive outcome from it. So that's good to know that there will be some examination of that afterwards, after it's all implemented. All right, we're going to continue on the extra. We're talking with Michelle Pulin, who's telling us about some of the projects going on with CDOT that are working to make our roads safer and make traffic flow easier. The conversation will continue here on the extra after these messages. And welcome back to The Extra, the show that connects you with the people, issues, and topics that are important to you. And we've been talking about one of the improvements, the project that has been working to make improvements on the I-25 corridor. We're talking about the ramp metering project. And our guest today, Michelle Pulin, with CDOT's Region 2, she's the communications manager, has been pointing out some of the reasons why a project like that really can help improve the safety, cut down on accidents, make traffic flow a lot smoother, not be, you know, start and stop. That's what I notice when I'm going along I-25 before the ramp meters came into place, especially around, you know, commute time, heavy commute time, Michelle, is that, you know, things would start to get rolling, and then as soon as you got to one of those on-ramps, things would slow down because a lot of drivers were getting on right at those on-ramps. Is that what this project is designed to change, is designed to smooth out?
Absolutely. It's meant to take advantage of those gaps in traffic so one vehicle can merge in safely rather than several vehicles trying to take advantage of those gaps. So we want to allow folks the opportunity to safely merge onto the interstate, and as well as keep the interstate moving at a safe speed.
Okay, and Michelle, you said the magic word, gap. Let's move on. Let's talk about
great transition.
Let's talk about the GAP project. I know the way it works, and for our listeners who maybe are new to listening to us talk about the GAP project, one thing that's important to note is most of the GAP project, if not all of the GAP project, is taking place outside of our region. So even though it benefits all of us in this region, a lot of the construction is taking place in another region, the region to the north of us. So that's just something to keep in mind. I know, Michelle, sometimes you've brought in other people to talk about the GAP project because of that. But what can you tell us about how the GAP project is progressing, how we're doing on that?
Okay. Yeah, well, and to address your early, so most folks don't understand regions and why we classify things in regions, but I am in Region 2, which is the 14 southeast counties. The GAP is in 1 mile of El Paso County, which El Paso County is in Region 2. The bulk of the I-25 GAP project is in Douglas County, which is in Region 1. So they're handling the oversight of the project. However, like you said, it impacts lots of folks in El Paso County, especially those who commute to Douglas County or all the way to Denver. So what is the GAP project? It's interesting. I still run into people who have no idea about what's happening to the
lucky
north
them
of
that they haven't so, run into that.
So the CDOT is improving the 18-mile stretch of I-25 between Monument and Castle Rock. We are widening the roadway that is currently two lanes in each direction to three lanes. That third lane, the inside lane, will be operated as an express lane, which gives motorists the choice of taking a faster, more reliable lane for enhanced travel. It will be your choice if you want to use and pay to drive in that express lane. All other travelers, the other two lanes are 100% free, operate as they always have. So what else is part of the I-25 South GAP project? We're widening shoulders to make it safer for our first responders to take care of incidents in that area. We're rebuilding bridges. We're adding new wildlife crossings, resurfacing with new pavement, modernized technology. We recently hit the 2-year anniversary that we started construction, and the project is set to be complete in 2022. As I said, it's an 18-mile long construction zone, so we've broken it down in three sections. So we have the north section, the south section, and the middle section. Good news is that north section between Skyview Lane and Plum Creek, the construction on I-25 is complete. We are working on frontage roads in that area, but the impacts to I-25 in that north section are just about done. The construction
is. Are you
done,
talking southbound, northbound, or both? I'm sorry, Michelle.
Both.
Okay.
Both southbound and northbound.
Okay.
The south section between Monument and Greenland, we are paving small sections, which is causing somewhat of a bumpy road. So we definitely need to encourage drivers to heed the speed limit. And we do have variable speed limits within that project. So some areas may be 60, some areas may be 55, and then when there's weather, we'll lower it to 45 or 35. So there's a reason why we're encouraging folks to lower their speed. The road can be bumpy. The lane lines change. So you really need to watch your speed, pay attention, and be careful in those sections. Okay. That south section, we're also in the midst of building 3 wildlife crossings, along with a new underpass at Greenwood. The milestone we have in that section is the southbound climbing lane near County Line Road is complete. It currently is being used as a regular lane of traffic, but once the project is complete, we will have a separate climbing lane in the area. The middle section, which is Greenland Road to Larkspur, this is definitely the most active section on the project. A little bit of good news, we are very, very close to opening the Spruce Mountain Road Bridge. It was the bridge was originally constructed in 1964, so it had to be completely rebuilt due to age. Mm-hmm. And it also didn't meet the minimum height requirement for commercial vehicles. So that bridge, as well as the on-ramp for that bridge, is very, very close to opening. So we're excited for that milestone. Once we have that northbound on-ramp open, the Upper Lake Gulch on-ramp northbound I-25 will close, and we'll start working on that area.
Okay.
Crews are also working very hard in this section to complete paving before winter starts. So we have some good asphalt to drive on in that area. But motorists should anticipate some overnight closures of I-25 in both directions through November.
And you mentioned some of that rough pavement. So will that be getting paved over, or is that something that's waiting until we're farther along in the completion process in order to get paved?
There will be sections that will be continually paved throughout the project.
Okay. Okay.
So, and then once the project is near completion, we'll do what we call the final top mat, which is that final level of asphalt, which is going to make it a lot smoother.
Okay. But that's, we'll, again, in 2022, so a ways away.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
So to get,
and that's why we'll continue to do paving throughout the project to make that pavement safe for travel.
All right. And during the winter
but
months is what
safe it is. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And safe at slower speeds. So again, I can't say it enough. Please reduce your speed through the gap.
Right, right. And if you've gone through the gap and seen an accident, you realize that the workers are not there's a lot that you're doing to protect them, but you're driving alongside workers who are just within maybe 10 feet of where you're driving. So if you're not taking it slow, being careful, it could be very hazardous to those workers. Have there been any workers injured in this project so far?
No. Luckily, knock on wood.
Knock on everything,
we have,
right.
Not seen, yeah.
Okay.
We have not. However, what I will say is this year, 2020, we have seen a significant increase in work zone crashes. That doesn't necessarily mean that work zone employees were injured, but we have seen an increase in work zone crashes, as well as work zone fatalities. And that's, the fatalities are with motorists, not workers. Mm. So again, you're protecting our employees, our crews, when you're driving through there at reduced speeds, but you're also protecting yourself and other motorists on the road.
All right.
So
we want to
be safe.
Be safe out there. We want to touch more on that, Michelle. We have to take a short break. I was losing track of time because I was engrossed with what you were saying. The GAP project, is something that I think a lot of people have a lot of interest in. All you have to do is, take a couple trips up there to realize that there are improvements coming. We just have to be patient for them. We need to take a break. We'll be back with more of The Extra here on KRDO News Radio. All right, we're back with Michelle Pulin, who is the District 2 area. Did I say that right?
It's Region 2.
Region 2. There we go.
Whatever you want to call me.
Region 2 Communications Manager for the Colorado Department of Transportation, CDOT. And they are the ones who make sure that our roads are safe and maintained. And when improvements are needed, they're the ones doing those. One of the improvement projects that we want to talk about, you talked about safety. This is one that I think a lot of people are interested in, and they want to see more of this. It are the safety barriers. There is a safety barrier project that is going on or going to start going on. Tell us about this one.
So CDOT has a goal to get cable barrier or appropriate barrier between Colorado Springs and Pueblo on I-25 the full length. Again, similar to the GAP project that we talked about, we've broken this into phases. We're currently on phase 4 of the project, which is between mile points 114 and 121, otherwise known as Wigwam and Pikes Peak International Raceway. It's a 7-mile stretch, and we are nearing completion of that project. It will be complete by the end of the year. The biggest impact folks will see is because we are moving into fall, moving in closer to winter, we're moving from nighttime work to more daytime work. Unfortunately, our paving operations are very temperature sensitive, so we have to be at certain temperatures for that paving to work properly. So we are doing paving in the daytime on Tuesday and Wednesday until about 2 o'clock. And that takes a single lane closure. So again, we've talked about several projects along the length of I-25. So I strongly recommend before people make that commute, make that travel, check and see what CDOT projects are gonna impact you. And you can find all of that information out at cotrip.org. But the I-25 cable rail project is going to be doing median work. They're going to have daytime shoulder closures, nighttime single lane closures, as I mentioned, 2 days a week. They'll have daytime single lane closures. So know before you go, once again. And again, these guys are trying to get as much work done as possible so they can get this project wrapped up.
And Michelle, this is all about safety. And one of the stark statistics that's coming out is an increase in fatalities on Colorado highways in our region. Tell us about that.
You know, this is not good news. This is not news that I want to share with your listeners today. But the 14 southeastern counties have seen a 20% increase in roadway fatalities. The statewide, we're seeing numbers decrease. But in our region, like I said, we're at a 20% increase, which is huge. Last year at this time, there were 104 fatalities. This year, we're up to 125. El Paso County specifically, in all of 2019, there were 66 fatalities. At this point, in 2020, we already have 65 fatalities in El Paso County, and we're leading the state in fatalities. That's not an area where you want to be number one, but unfortunately, El Paso County is. So what's causing this? We believe that a lot of the cause behind this is driver behavior. We're seeing folks not wearing seat belts. We're seeing an increase in impaired driving fatalities. But the biggest thing we're seeing is speed. People are going way too fast. And I don't know if that's a habit that started back when we had lower traffic volumes in the outbreak of COVID. When we saw lower traffic volume and people thought they could go faster. But it's really tragic what we're seeing. I mean, there are 125 people in our area of the state that will be missing this holiday season. They won't be around the table. And that's a really sobering thought. So make sure we don't add to that number. You know, I beg everyone to wear their seatbelts. Don't drive distracted, which is another area we've seen increased fatalities. Don't drive impaired. There's far too many options out there. You know, plan ahead. Take a ride share. Plan to walk. I mean, there are way too many things you can do to avoid driving impaired.
Mm-hmm. Well, Michelle, important safety message there. And I wanted to make sure that we got that in. I know we didn't get a chance to talk about one of the other big projects that's going on, Highway 50 and the Purcell Interchange. But I'm guessing that if folks go on that website, they can find out more information?
Exactly. Yes. Okay. Check out our website, codot.gov, and you can find out all of the projects that are impacting your commute and your future drives, maybe for your holiday travel.
Right. That's going to really improve things for the folks in the Pueblo area. So make sure you check that out for updates. And if you need to find out information before you go on a trip, as far as travel information, what the conditions are, make sure you visit cotrip.org. I'd like to thank our guest for today, Michelle Pulin, Communications Manager for Region 2 for CDOT. She is continuing to do all this work to make sure that we have all the information we need in knowing what's going on with our Department of Transportation. Michelle, thank you, as always, for sharing your knowledge with us.
Thank you, Shannon, and thanks to your listeners for driving safe and making the right choices, and I hope you continue to do that through the holiday season.
Okay. You heard it, listeners. We'll do so. Thank you, Michelle. And KRDO News Radio is proud to bring you The Extra tomorrow. It's The Extra Business Edition with Ted Robertson. Have a great day.